us the measure to which we believe God is God. How many of you believe God is God?
Amen.
We used to sing that song, I know God is God, and God will never change. He's God up on the platform, God back at the door, God in the amen corner, he's God all over the floor. I know God is God. Faith is the measure to which we believe God is God, and faith is the measure to which we let God be God. You know, a lot of times we even believe that God is God, but we don't let God be God.
Amen.
We don't let God do what God can do. And we want to do it all ourselves. And you are a participator, and you have to do your part. Because what? Faith without works is dead. But we got to let God be God, right? And when we don't understand what God is doing, we still got to let God be God. We just follow God's leading. We do what God says. But God is God, and we just need to let God be who he is. We've talked about two types of faith so far. We've talked about dead faith, and we've talked about little faith. But today, I want to talk a little bit about more faith. Anybody need more faith? Come on, be honest. We could all use a measure of more faith, couldn't we? More faith. I want to look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 to begin with today. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And I'm going to read out of a different translation. It's the Message translation. And it's more of a paraphrase type translation, but I just love the way it says, and this is Paul's second letter to the Thessalonian church. You know, this was a young church. Matter of fact, some believe that Paul, after he started this church, that a month later he wrote 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. It was that quick. And just a few months later he wrote 2 Thessalonians to the church to deal with some things that the church was having to deal with themselves. But let's read the scripture here. In verse 1, I'm going to read the whole chapter. It's not very long. Won't take you but a second to read through. But here's what it says. It says, Paul, together with Silas and Timothy, greet the church of the Thessalonian Christians in the name of God our Father and our Master, Jesus Christ. Our God gives you everything you need. I think we can receive that, can we? Our God gives you everything you need and makes you everything you're to be. I love that, right? Amen. You need to know, friends, that thanking God over and over for you is not only a pleasure, it's a must. We have to do it. Your faith is growing phenomenally or exponentially. Your faith is growing phenomenally. Your love for each other is developing wonderfully. Why? It's only right that we give thanks. We're so proud of you. You're so steady and determined in your faith. Despite all the hard times that have broadsided you, we tell everyone we meet in the church is all about you. Hey, would you just turn around and just give somebody a hand clap or a wave and say, hey, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of your faith. I'm proud of your participation. Come on. Man, I'm so thankful for you. Come on. I'm thankful for you, church. Can I just wave at you today? I'm proud of your faith. Thank you for staying and keeping the faith. Thank you for not running away from God when things got difficult. Thank you for being faithful to the house of the Lord in a hotel room here at the Holiday Inn Express. Thank you for never giving up. I'm proud of you. And I love watching you grow in your faith. I know some of you have been in the faith a lot longer than me, but I love watching you grow as you still walk in the Lord in your faith. And I love watching some of you young adults growing in your faith and your kids growing in your faith. And I'll be honest with you, friends, it feels like we haven't accomplished a whole lot, but I've seen a whole lot in some of you. But I just believe we're just getting started. Amen. Amen, Brother Wayne. Can you believe that after 80-something years, we're still just getting started, right? Amen. There's still much to do for the kingdom of God. Look what Paul says in verses 5 through 10. All this trouble, and we'll look at that in a minute, all this trouble is a clear sign that God has decided to make you fit for the kingdom. Can you see how that might apply to us? All this trouble is a clear sign that God has decided to make you fit for the kingdom. You're suffering now, but justice is on the way. Oh, come on, I love that. And justice is ultimately coming. We know that one day, at dawn the rapture of the church, we know that justice is ultimately coming and the evil and the wicked will be put down. But I believe justice is coming for us on the earth as well. When the Master Jesus appears out of heaven, and look how he says that, in a blaze of fire with his strong angels, he'll even up the score by settling accounts with those who gave you such a bad time. His coming will be the break we've been waiting for. Those who refuse to know God and refuse to obey the message will pay for what they've done. Eternal exile from the presence of the Master and his splendid power is their sentence. But on that very same day when he comes, he will be exalted by his followers and celebrated by all those who believe what we told you. Come on, blessed be he who comes in the name of the Lord. You know what they were doing? They were celebrating their Messiah, and they didn't even know it, did they? There you go, Charlotte. They were celebrating their Messiah coming in on a donkey, Don. Amen. An unridden, untamed donkey. They were celebrating what they didn't even know they were celebrating, for sure. But some of those same ones that celebrated him later ought to crucify him. But friends, we are followers, and we get to celebrate him, and we get to celebrate what he's told us in his word. Amen. Is that it? There we go. Because we know that this extraordinary day is just ahead, we pray for you all the time. Pray that our God will make you fit for what he's called you to be. Pray that he'll fill your good ideals and acts of faith with his own energy so that it all amounts to something. If your life honors the name of Jesus, he will honor you. I say this many times, God honors those that honor him. Grace is behind and through all of this, our God giving himself freely, the Master Jesus Christ giving himself freely. Wow. I just love that. I love that story. And this isn't a story, really. It's really a letter to the church to encourage them, because there were some things that were happening amongst this young believing church. And Paul had gotten word that some things were happening, but in the meantime, he's wanting to write to them and encourage them. And in the meantime, Timothy and Silas give him news that the church is still growing in their faith. This young church is growing in their faith. And that does what? That does something inside of him that makes him want to encourage them. But he still has to what? He has to speak to the issues that are happening in that church as well, because he doesn't want those young believers to lose their faith, to fall out in their work for the Lord. You know, J. Vernon McGee, who wrote the Through the Bible series, he said, 1 Thessalonians, why study that? He said, when the new church gathering in Thessalonica around 50 AD read the letters Paul wrote them, they had only followed Jesus Christ as Savior for about a month. The first letter comforted them with solid teaching about Jesus' return. The second letter told them about when they would return with Jesus to establish his reign on earth. Why did they need instruction about prophecy? Because they were suffering, persecuted for their new faith. They needed confidence in what God promised was to come. And we need the same today. You know, friends, can I tell you that God speaks to us in our hour of need? Amen. Sometimes God speaks to us before our hour of need. You know, we have a word from a prophet that gave us back before all of this ever happened, as we were just finishing up the sanctuary. We didn't even have the ceiling tile in. You remember, we had that service with prophetic voice, Wayne Drain, and he wrote that letter about a harvest moon coming, and in November we would be thankful. And we thought, well, November's coming, we're going to be very thankful. Well, guess what? November came and passed. I think that was 2021. 2022, November came and passed. February 2023, amen, we are exited out of our building. November 2023, we're meeting here in the hotel. December of 2024 is coming, friends. I don't know about you, but I just believe that God has spoke a word before we ever went into this process to prepare us for what he wants to do coming out of this process. Wow. You see, God speaks to us in our need. God speaks to us with prophecy. That's why we should not deny prophecy. We should what? We should measure prophecy, and we should make sure that prophecy measures up to God's word, because not everybody that speaks the word of God is the true prophet of God. And even then, you know, Scripture tells us of people that prophesied that maybe gave accurate prophecies, but they weren't men of God either. You know, the devil can use things to twist them around, can't he? The best he can. Chuck Swindoll, who wrote Insights for Living Ministries, he said, just because Paul visited a city, just because he preached the gospel for weeks or even months and founded a church by guiding converts to the faith, this did not protect the new church from scheming heretics. In fact, the immaturity of any new church presented a perfect target for those who meant to mislead and distort the truth, he said. Chuck said, Paul worried about his friends and their troubles with false teachers. Wrote this second letter to the believers at Thessalonica in the hope of encouraging their young but burgeoning faith. You know, Paul was very, you know, the life that Paul lived before really transformed and changed, and God did a work in his life after his conversion on Damascus Road. And God used him to speak into people's lives and to build churches and to plant churches. And, you know, he cared about those things that God had given him. You know, friends, I believe that it's up to us to really pay attention to what God is saying to us. It's up to us to really invest in what God has brought us to. Amen. We're a young church over here. We really are. I mean, I know we bought that building in 2020, and we've only been in there maybe a year or so, but we're a young congregation there. Now, we're not a young congregation altogether because we're fixing to celebrate 75 years of ministry in this church. But for there, we're a young congregation. That's a young place for us. You know, we have a young Spanish church that's meeting with us. Friends, I believe it's up to us really to invest in our faith. It's up to us to pray for one another. It's up to us to pray that God will speak to the hearts and minds of people that are young in their faith. Amen. You see, friends, I believe that faith is powerful. We've talked about dead faith. Dead faith without, or faith without works is a dead faith. It's useless. It's empty faith. The Bible says our works should follow our faith. And then last 2 weeks ago, we talked about a little faith. Amen. Thank God for a little faith. If you have the faith of a mustard seed, you know, that's a little faith can be a powerful faith. But I think the challenge for all of us today is not just have little faith. Definitely don't have dead faith. But I think we need to have more faith. I feel like God wants us to pray for more faith. When's the last time you asked God to give you greater faith? When's the last time you said, God, increase my faith? You know, Luke chapter 17, the disciples, after they had seen God do miracles and after they had tried even themselves to speak into situations with the demonic and other things and couldn't do it, and they said, Lord, increase our faith. They were serious. I mean, they were young in their faith. These believers, these disciples were young in their faith. They hadn't seen this. I mean, this was all new to them, coming out of fishing and tax collecting and all the things they came from, coming into a livelihood of following Jesus, the Son of God. But they were asking the Lord, Lord, grow my faith so I can believe like you believe, so I can see things done like you're doing. Let me just give you some things this morning. Growing faith, first of all, is an expanding faith. Growing faith is an expanding faith. Verses 3 and 4 of the scripture we just read there says this: you need to know, friends, and Paul talking to the Thessalonian church, you need to know, friends, that thanking God over and over for you is not only a pleasure, it's a must. We have to do it. Your faith is growing phenomenally. Your love for each other is developing wonderfully. Why is only right that we give thanks? In other words, Paul said, man, I've got to thank the Lord for you because your faith is expanding. Your faith is growing. Growing exceedingly, as the New King James Version says. You know what that means? That means to increase beyond measure. If your faith is growing exceedingly or phenomenally, your faith is increasing beyond measure. It means to increase above ordinary degree. Can I just encourage you today? Don't be subtle with ordinary faith. Don't even be subtle with little faith. But ask God for more faith. Ask God to increase your faith beyond what you can even comprehend. Ask God to give you, I know there's the gifts of faith, the spiritual gifts of faith, but I believe we all can have a measure of faith. And we can have more faith if we will ask God to give us more faith. You know what growing faith does? Growing faith helps you love one another more. Isn't that what he just said there? Your love for each other is developing wonderfully. You need to know, friends, that thanking God over and over for you is not only a pleasure, it's a must. We have to do it. Your faith is growing phenomenally. Your love for each other is developing wonderfully. Can I tell you that when your faith grows, so does your love? When you grow deeper in your faith with God, your love for God and your love for others goes deep as well. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, right? Love your neighbor as yourself. You can't separate those two commandments. The second one follows the first. If you love God, you love one another, right? You see, friends, if we're growing in our faith, then our love for God and for each other is growing. You know, I love you now more than I ever have. I can just come over and give you all a big hug right now. I don't have time to do all that, but I'll hug you later. But I love the fellowship of that because, you know what love does? Love produces thanksgiving. Doesn't it? You see, when you're growing in your faith, you're loving people more, and you're being more thankful. more thankful for one another. More, you know, we can be thankful in all things. That even the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. You know, we can be thankful for what we're going through right now because our faith is growing.
Amen.
Praise the
Lord.
Amen. We can even love those that don't love us. We can even love those that are holding us up. Because ultimately we know it's a spiritual battle, right? You see, what God wants to do is He wants to expand our faith. And everything Jesus did coming into Jerusalem on a donkey was to expand their faith. To challenge your faith. You know, every now and then our faith needs to be challenged. You know, sometimes we just got to believe for things that are in the natural mind just can't happen. You know, every now and then we need to trust God for things that are beyond our ability to trust. Sometimes that's even in our giving. Sometimes that's in our worship and our prayer. Sometimes that's just, you know, it's in our faith and our witness. And, you know, we just have to trust God. You know, when we pray for people that are sick and lay hands on the sick, what are we doing? We're believing for them, right?
Amen.
Even if we know that it's beyond our ability. You know, it's something that, you know, only a doctor, and even a doctor can't do. You know, there comes a point, friends, where doctors can't do it anymore either. I mean, they only give them the ability God gives them. But there comes a point where we have to trust God for stuff that's beyond the ordinary. I don't know about you, but I want to be a super ordinary believer. I want to be a supernatural believer. I want to believe God for things that aren't common. Amen. I want to see signs and wonders and miracles again, don't you? I want to see the lame walk and the blind see and the deaf hear. I want to see tumors fall off. I want to see the withered hands grow back, friends. I want to see the super out of the ordinary things again with the kingdom of God. Amen. That's our faith growing, though. We have to believe that God can do what He said He can do. So first of all, growing faith is an expanded faith. I know I've got to hurry. Second of all, growing faith is enduring faith. And enduring faith. Verse 4, we're so proud of you. Paul said again, you're so steady, determined in your faith, despite all the hard times that have brought sight of you. I've been brought sight of before by a hard time. Anything ever caught you off guard? You didn't know it was coming? You wasn't looking for it? But you knew when it hit you, right? Amen. They were enduring. He says, I'm so proud of you. We're so proud of you. You're so steady and determined in your faith despite all the hard times that have brought out of you. And look what he says. We tell everyone we meet in the church is all about you. I love that. And word of mouth. You know, friends, we ought to brag on one another. We ought to brag on the church. The church gets so much negative publicity. And I, you know, you can understand why. Because there's a lot of negativity happening in churches. But you know what? We need to take the good that God is doing in the church. We need to brag on it and say, oh, you ought to hear what God's doing in our services. You ought to see how God touched so-and-so. Your testimony is powerful. And your testimony is your testimony. Paul says, man, you have been determined in your faith. And that's one of the reasons he's writing this letter, because they have been targeting it. You know, they're a young church. But God is why he's speaking to their young faith. And he said, I see you're young, but I see you growing. And I see you enduring hardships. You know that word enduring means lasting, permanent. It also means patient and long-suffering. You know, friends, if we're going to have true faith with God, we've got to have a lasting faith with God. Our faith needs to be permanent. It needs to be solidified. You know, friends, when things shake us, we don't need to turn from our faith in God. We don't need to run from the church. We don't need to run from our relationship with God. We need to run to God. We need to be patient, right? That's what lasting enduring means. To be patient, it means to be long-suffering. If our faith is growing and it's enduring, then it is patient, long-suffering, lasting, and permanent. This isn't the time to turn back on your faith. This isn't the time to give up, throw up your hands, and say, well, I'll just go find another church. They've got something happening over across the street over here. They've got more kids ministries, more youth ministries. Amen. They've got a better preacher. They've got more musicians. They got musicians that don't look coastal. I'm just kidding. Matthew walked up yesterday with me, and Lori says, he looks coastal, don't he? He's taking on that South Beach look now, right? I wish I could look like you. I'm losing my hair, you got hair. Hey, when you're ready to shave it off, can you save a little bit for me somewhere? Maybe some super glue will go a long ways, right? You know what? 2 Thessalonians, Paul needed to address three troubles that the church of Thessalonica was facing. First of all, they were facing persecution from the outside. Paul puts the church's situation in context. They're being identified with Jesus, and therefore the world hates them. Now, can I tell you, friends, anytime you stand with Jesus, somebody's going to hate you. Somebody's not going to like what you did and who you stand for. There are those outside that can't stand the church, friends, just like those that have tried to curse the church. Friends, I believe that every curse, every word that's been spoken is going to return back void on them. Amen. I believe it's going to return back void on them, and it's going to fall on the ground. But friends, we just need to understand that persecution does happen from the outside. But what happens later when Jesus returns? You know, we say vengeance is mine. Well, you know, it is his. It might not happen here on earth like we want to see it, but it's going to happen one day. God's in control. The Bible says every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I don't know if some of those are going to be from a flame. Some of those are going to be in a beautiful city built on streets of gold. But friends, we're all going to bow our knee and worship the Lord. But persecution happens, and Paul's speaking to the church, the young church at Thessalonica, that stay faithful. Keep growing your faith like you're doing. Persecution, you know, because you know when Paul was there, if you remember when Paul was there, they always stirred up trouble. At Thessalonica, they stirred up trouble. Remember, he was in the house of one named Jason, but they hid him away from the house, and they came and they pulled Jason out of the house. And you know, they wanted to get Paul and Silas and Timothy, but they couldn't find them because some of the believers had hidden them. But they pulled Jason out of the house, and he had to pay some kind of probation fee just to get out of prison. But the believers hid him and sent him on to Berea, and they had some successful ministry there in Berea. And then, you know, those same Judaistic stir-uppers of trouble came and found him there, and they just kind of followed him around trying to discourage him. You see, there was always persecution, but the church was still growing. You know, in nations around the world, and I wish I had some statistic, but it seems like every time the church faces severe persecution, the church explodes. Mm-hmm. It grows. It's a growing faith. Maybe that's what God's been allowing to happen for us in our nation, friends. Because we've gotten so content with where we're at. We've gotten so lax in our relationship with God. And I believe there's some things that we can pray about God can heal, but at the same time, I believe some of these things that God can use for us to change us and bring us back to a more fervent relationship with Him. Not only were they facing persecution from outside, but they were facing despair from false doctrine. Someone has told the church that Jesus had already returned. That was one of the things. He's already come back. The day of the Lord's already happened. You got left. Anybody ever had a dream where you were left behind? Or the rapture was taking place and you couldn't get off the ground? You ever had a dream like that? Or is that just me? but there was these trying to stir up. You know, I'm telling you, Christ, the enemy wanted to attack you just from without. He'll attack you from within. He will. He'll stir up so-called believers, if we're not careful, if we don't have discernment, to stir up trouble in the church and to stir up doctrinal issues. And Paul's just reminding them about this and said, hey, thank you for your growing faith. But they have been facing this persecution from without and this despair from people presenting false doctrine. You know what? You got to know what you believe.
Amen.
Okay? If you don't know what you believe, then you'll fall for something if you're not careful. You've got to know the Word of God. You know, that's why we want to take people through growth tracks when they want to be a part of this church, because we want them to know what we believe, what we stand for, our doctrines, our fundamental truths. You know, the Word of God, definitely. But that's where it all bases out of. So there was persecution on the outside, despair from false doctrine, and then there was also these busybodies in the church. What that is. But a few Thessalonians had fallen off into undisciplined lives. They weren't working and they weren't holding to Paul's traditions. Some had become busybodies, people getting involved in other people's, can I just say, other people's business without contributing themselves. You know, there's some people that just want to sit around and tell you what everybody ought to be doing instead of doing it themselves. You've been in church long enough, you know it's true. You've seen it somewhere. Here or somewhere, we've all seen it in our ministry. We see it in our jobs, you know, as well. You know, there's always somebody who wants to tell somebody else what to do, right? Mm-hmm. Pass the buck. You know, Paul reminds them of the example. He said how he worked among them with his own hands. You know, Paul tells them, says, I worked to make my own way. You know, from history and from what we understand, that Paul was a tent maker. And so Paul worked with his own hands to provide a living, you know, not to be a burden on the young church. But, you know, there are people that want to be burdens on churches. Matt, come on tonight. Let's finish this up this morning. So, growing faith. Let me give you one more thing today.
growing faith is expanding faith, enduring faith, but it's also effective faith. Effective faith. Now, I want to take you to Mark chapter 11 this morning for a minute. And this is right after Jesus had come into Jerusalem on that Palm Sunday. After he walked in the temple, looked around, and went out. I believe it might have been Bethany. And as he was walking out, he ran across this tree, a fig tree. Verse 12 of Mark chapter 11. The next morning, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry, and he noticed the fig tree in full leaf a little way off. So he went over to see if he could find any figs, but there were only leaves because it was too early in the season for fruit. Then Jesus said to the tree, "May no one ever eat your fruit again." And the disciples heard him say it. Now if you skip down to verse 20, the next morning, this is the next day, the next morning as they passed by the fig tree that he had cursed, the disciples noticed it had withered from the roots up. Peter remembered what Jesus had said to the tree on the previous day, and he exclaimed, "Look, Rabbi, the fig tree you cursed has withered and died." What had happened here? We see a story, and actually there's another scripture back in the morning. Let me finish it.
Sorry.
Peter asked him, "Look what happened." Jesus said to the disciples, "Have faith in God. I tell you the truth. You can say to this mountain, 'May you be lifted up and thrown into the sea,' and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. I tell you, you can pray for anything. And if you believe that you received it, it will be yours. But when you are praying, first forgive anyone who are holding a grudge against, so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too." So Jesus coming out of Bethany, headed to Jerusalem. He was fixing to cleanse the temple, to overturn the money changers' tables. But he was hungry. Maybe looking for a little early morning breakfast. And he comes to this fig tree. Fig tree has leaves, but it has no fruit. Some said it wasn't in season for fruit. Well, one writer said it this way. Essentially, this tree was a picture of false advertising. Having leaves but no figs. You see, ordinarily this is not the case with fig trees, which normally do not have leaves but also without also having figs. Fruit. You see, it wasn't that the tree had leaves, it had leaves but no fruit. And maybe it wasn't so much that it didn't have fruit, but it had leaves, which told Jesus there should have been fruit on that tree. Because it had an appearance. Looking fruitful.
Right.
Yeah. We see that, don't we? Sometimes we look like we got it all together. Sometimes we look like everything's going our way. Sometimes we look like there's joy in our heart and peace in our mind, but sometimes what's really stirring inside of us is totally different from what's on the outside. It had an appearance because it had leaves, but it had no fruit. It wasn't that it didn't have leaves, but it was a possibility that there wasn't fruit with the leaves that were already there. Jesus explained this miracle was really the result of a prayer made in faith. And he encouraged his marveling disciples to have this kind of faith, trusting that God would hear them also. Jesus made it clear that prayer must be offered in faith, and faith must be in God. And you see, sometimes we put faith in faith. Amen. He said, you know, one writer says that some people have interpreted that they want God's faith. I want to tell you, my friends, we have God's faith, we can do anything. But it's not that we have God's faith, but we have faith in God. And where do we put our faith? What kind of more faith do we want? We want more faith that's in God. Not just faith that's in faith, but faith that believes that God can take our faith and use it to supply our needs. You see, faith is trust. It's confidence, and it's a reliance upon someone or something. Charles Spurgeon said this, and I'm fixing to close it out. He said this about how to get a strong and a growing faith. He said, "Do all you can, and do a little more. And when you can't do that, then do a little more than you can. Always have something in hand that is greater than your present capacity. Grow up to it. And when you have grown up to it, grow some more." In other words, don't be satisfied with what you have. Have more faith.
you're asking for. The Bible says that if we pray believing, we can ask and we can receive what we've asked for. You see, friends, that's what faith is. God wants to give us more faith, but we have to be willing to accept that and want that and to grow in our faith. God, give me a little more. Give me a little more. You know, friends, God sees your potential. The issue is that we don't always see our potential. Sometimes we think that's all we can give. That's all we can do. But God sees that we can do more. We can give more because God's got more to give us. More faith. I don't know about you, friends, but I want more faith. I'm praying like the disciples did. Lord, increase my faith. Increase my faith. I want to believe for the impossible. I want to believe for the miraculous. I want to believe for the supernatural. If you need a healing from God, if you need something from the Lord of victory, then just ask God, increase my faith. Do what I can't do on my own. Bring some fruit to these leaves. Come on, friends, don't just be a tree of leaves. Be a tree that bears fruit. Amen. How many know that we are attached to the, we are the vine and he's the branch. He's the vine, we are the branches. We're attached to the vine. And if we remain in him and his word remains in us and he remains in us, guess what? We can ask what we want and it shall be done for us. And I believe our lives will bear fruit. Anybody need some fruit today? Come on, will you bow your heads?